Bless us. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 357, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. When Zion in her low estate was brought from bondage by the Lord, in ecstasy we sang for joy, by grace and wondrous love restored. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 357.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, the 4th chapter, the first 42 verses. John chapter 4, but first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world, thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou art indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world, and thou as the Christ, as the anointed one, dost also anoint men, that they may go forth in thy work, that there may be a church, that there may be a continuation of thy work, when thou art ascended into heaven, and when thou dost sit at the right hand of thy Father, and when thou dost from there govern all things according to thy own will, and we may be gladdened in this day, and we may be glad in this hour, and when thou dost give unto us also as a congregation that great benefit, and when thou dost give another office bearer, for which we have besought thee so often. But Lord, then it is thy own work to call a man and to bring him into the office. And then we have to experience that we are on the outside of this, and that that is thy own doing. And then it is always the best, O Lord, that thou may humble us under thy doings, and of thy great goodness in all thy providence, and where thou dost guide all things according to thy own will. And may it be also for the benefit of this our flock, that thou hast given, that thou dost still work in the midst of us, and that thou may in a special way remember this man who is to be installed in his office and is to swear that oath of office. O Lord, that thou may stand on the right hand and on the left hand of him in the labors that he will be called to perform in the future. And Lord, thou knowest all of those labors. They are labors that thou dost lay on a man. And it is all known to thee what is necessary in the midst of the church. And that when he also may bring thy word as it is, as thou hast given it from our fathers, in the reading of the sermons, and then there are choices to be made. And then, Lord, we beseech thee, and that thou may remember each of those in the midst of us, who are yet without that work and that need to be wrought upon. Oh, that thou may work in his heart, that that choice may be of thee, and that there may be a leading of all of thy people. For he does not know what is living in the hearts of men, but when he may bow his knees in thy inner in his inner chamber, and there he may lay before thee what his needs are. Oh, that thou would guide him, that it may be for the welfare of thy true church, that it may be for the upbuilding of thy church, and that he may be endued with thy spirit from on high, and may it be for his own soul to be led into all thy truth, and that he may also be made an instrument in thy holy fingers for the welfare of the congregation, for the children and for the youth, also in the place that he does have in our school, and when he is standing before our children. O Lord, we beseech thee that thou may give him a strength and wisdom and grace for all the labors of his hands, along with us as the rest of the consistory, for thou knowest all of our needs, and everything lies in all of thy own counsel. Guide us, Lord, lead us, teach us, and make us useful in thy church. Lord, wilt thou remember his wife and his children, for thou knowest all and that is living also in her and in their hearts. Oh, that thou mayst supply in all their needs, and for all the wives and the families of our office bearers. Lord, wilt thou care for each one of them, and that thou may uphold and strengthen them also, that they may be a true helpmeets also upon their knees for their husbands, that thou may remember also his parents, and that thou hast brought them here for this special occasion. Lord, that thou may give gladness in their hearts. Oh, that thou may humble them before thee, and that thou art pleased also to use of their own offspring. And could it please thee to bless them, and that also our brother in all the labors of his hands, and that thou may sanctify and bless all of his labors. And we think about the theological school. Lord, could it please thee to send men who are converted and called by thee, and that they may give their application. Oh, Lord, that they may be brought forth out of thy own hand, and that thou may give them to us, and that they may be there instructed, and that he also may be used as a tool in thy holy fingers, for the welfare of our denomination. And Lord, that thou may remember also her parents, and that thou may supply for her father in the treatments that he does receive, and that thou may give the application and the blessing of thy word as a medicine also for his own soul, and that thou may look upon all of us together. Lord, thou art the great office bearer of thy church, and in that office thou dost call men, and thou dost call them from nature's darkness. Thou dost call them into thy marvelous light. Oh, could it please thee, Lord, so to remember us as office bearers, and that we may be used for the conversion of many, and that thou would work mightily in our midst. We cannot give it to ourselves, Lord, and we cannot give it unto one another. And we are all sinful creatures before thee. Oh, there is no one in our midst, and that is able to say that there is any worthiness in us. But Lord, could it please thee to take reasons out of thyself and to work with great might and with great power in the days in which we are living. Oh, that we may be brought in the true dust of self-abasement before thee, and that we may be given as so to cry out of the depth of our wretchedness and of our misery unto thee, who has been sent forth by thy Father. Oh, that thou mayest come into this world, and that thou mayest do the work of the office of a prophet, of a priest, and of a king. And thou art still that same great office bearer. Oh, use the offices over the length and breadth of the whole world, and that we and our children and may take heed to ourselves, because we are under all those offices. And then we have a great accountability for all the things that we do receive out of thy hand. Oh, that it may never testify against us in that great day of days. Oh, that thou may look upon us in thy mercy. Lord, we remember in a special way the widow of our brother elder, who is no longer among us to serve. And the reason and that a new elder must be installed. Lord, look upon her also in this hour. And because it will be an hour also for her. And that will bring back so many memories. Oh, that thou may supply and undergird and help her. And all the widows of office bearers of the student. And all the widows of those that have labored in thy kingdom. Lord, that thou may look upon us all in thy mercy, supply for us in this hour, be on our right hand and on our left, O Lord, and that thou would make it an easy and a loving task, and that thy spirit may be in the midst of us, and that thou would bless us undeservedly for thy great and for thy holy name's sake, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 226, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord of hosts, to thee I cry, our Father's God, to thee. Let my petition reach thy ear, my prayer accepted be. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 226.
congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, John chapter 4, and thereof the last part of the 38th verse, John 4, verse 38. Only these words, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. So far, the words of our text, which speak about the change of laborers. First, the former laborers, other men labored. And second, the latter laborers, and ye are entered into their labors. Thus the change of laborers, first the former, and second the latter laborers. The Lord Jesus' congregation speaks about laboring, and here we hear him refer in a special way to the labors of the farm. That is the labors of husbandry. He says, look on the fields. And then he says that there are more laborers than one. There is more than one kind type of labor. We would say in our labors, we speak about shift work. And that one is going to work in the morning and the other is going to work in the evening. And then the Lord speaks about the season, the entire season. He says that some will work in the beginning of the season and others will work in the latter part of that season. The disciples are the laborers. They are the laborers in the kingdom of the Lord, and they are laboring on the field. They are laboring on the field of the church that is in the midst of this world. Will those laborers always labor? They will not, because we can read of the Levitical priesthood and that the Lord said that they do not labor forever, but that they are not able to continue by reason of death. And so that will be with every laborer. Every laborer that is laboring in the midst of the church of God and of the school, the teachers in the school, they will not be forever. Do you realize that, two young people? Does that need ever lay on your heart? That the Lord may give teachers that may instruct you, and parents, that the Lord may give teachers that may instruct your children also in the future, if the Lord spares this world, that he may instruct your grandchildren, and that the Lord may give laborers, workers, also in the midst of his own church, deacons and elders and also ministers. Is that something which we do lay sometimes on our knees for? Other men labored. The Lord Jesus speaks to his disciples, and he speaks about the former laborers. Who were they? Well, they were Moses and the prophets, all of the prophets of the Old Testament time. They labored in the Old Testament, and it was a labor, he says, which was a labor of sowing. He says, one soweth. That is not easy to sow, because it is not speaking just about the sowing actually, but it is speaking that of everything that is coming along with the sowing. That means there must be also a plowing. There must be a ridding of the thorns and of the thistles, and a softening of that ground and making that ground ripe for the seed. That is a labor that makes a man sweat. That he has to sweat in his face, the Bible speaks about.
the labor of Moses was not so easy because it was a stiff-necked people. That is why. You ever feel that in your own heart? Stiff-neckedness. When the labors are done in the church, that you say, I come, and then there are labors, they are done on me, and my heart is the same when I leave the church as when I have come into that church. Other men labored. How old are you? And how many labors have not been done already in your life? By ministers, by elders, when they have come for house visitation, when they have read, office bearers. And how is it now? With all of those labors, has there been any profit from all of those labors? It is not easy, congregation, for the law to work in our heart, to break our heart. We can know it in our mind, but that does not mean it has broken our heart, because the Apostle Paul is said to have been brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a doctor of the law, and Paul knew that law very well. And yet Paul says, and that he was without it. I was without the law. That law was in my mind, but that law never came into my heart. That law never broke my heart. And I never became a guilty sinner before God. How is that with us? Do we feel the resistance there? The resistance to become a guilty man, a guilty woman before the Lord. That is a very discouraging thing to the laborers, because there is so little reward for those laborers. The prophets were often so discouraged. What is that book, children, that Jeremiah wrote, the prophet? He wrote the book of Lamentations. The prophet of the Lord wept. He wept because of the hardness of the heart of that people. How many of God's servants, how many office bearers have wept over you? How many of them have gone in their home and have gone on their knees in their own inner chamber and have shed tears before the Lord because they see no fruits, because all the labor seem to be so completely in vain? One soweth. Sowing, that is a work wherein the pleasures are reserved, they are postponed for the future. In that sowing, all of the pleasures lie in the expectation. Paul speaks about plowing in hope. Plowing in hope. Thus he has it not yet. He sees it not yet. But he does it with a hope for the future. How many of the Lord's laborers in his kingdom have died without seeing much or maybe any fruit of their own hands. We read of Moses that he was not permitted to enter into the land. All the fruits, the labors that he had to perform, they were all labors that were in that wilderness. But now Moses spoke to the people. And he said, you, the Lord is going to lead into that land. And he spoke to Joshua. And he says, this will be a new time. And the Lord is going to use you. And you are going to go forward and lead this people into that new land, into that new time. And now the Lord Jesus also speaks here about a great change. Actually, a representative change that law cannot bring the church in. Do you feel that? That the law cannot bring you in? Do you ever try to come in by obedience, congregation, to the law of God? Because if the law, the Lord gives you a new heart, boys and girls, then that law of God is going to be very precious to you, the whole word of God, but also those commandments of the Lord, that you say, I am apart from the Lord, and it is because of my own sin. How now can I come back unto him? And then you say, well, I am going to obey, and then the Lord is going to be pleased with me. You ever try to do that? I hope you try to do that. And how does that go? You ever feel like that fig tree that the Lord cursed? When the Lord said, no fruit heretofore from thee forever. You say, I am just like that fig tree, because I cannot bring forth anything. And everything that I do, that is nothing but sin before the Lord. The whole head sick and the whole heart faint. Does that law just condemn you? What shall we do with it? What shall we do with it, young people, then? Shall we throw that law away? Shall we throw it away then? You say, well, we cannot keep that law. That is true. What does the Lord say? What does Paul say? He says, God forbid. God forbid. You say that too in your heart? Oh, God forbid that I should do away with this law. God forbid that I should sin against this law. Because it is a holy law, because it is a good law, because it is a righteous law. Or what does the Apostle Paul say? He says, because I had not known sin, but by the law. Thus, if there is no sowing, there is also no reaping. That is, it is impossible. Do you believe that? That is why that sowing, that plowing, time that is so necessary. And why so necessary? Because that is a time in preparation. It is a time that is preparing for a new time. Oh, that is a time preparing for a future time. That is a time, and that is preparing for a time of reaping. We see that in our second thought. The latter laborers. And the latter labors, that the latter laborers must do. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. He says, one soweth, and another reapeth. John the Baptist was sent to go before the Lord Jesus. We read, to prepare his ways. Are you prepared of the Lord? Are you prepared for the Lord, that he may come? Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? The Lord is the Savior. The Savior. And who is now prepared that that Savior may come? Well, then they have to have a need for that Savior, don't they? And that is now to be prepared for the Lord. That is what we call a poor sinner. Not just a sinner even. But the Bible speaks about poor sinners. You say, what is the difference between a sinner and a poor sinner? Do you know what John the Baptist said? He said that the poor have the gospel preached unto them. You say, well, everyone has the gospel preached to them. That is true. A congregation, it is to the poor that that gospel is especially meant, that the gospel is especially directed, and it is the poor sinner is the one that actually he may hear that message of the gospel. When you think about Bunyan's Pilgrim, And the minister was pointing, he was speaking to him in all his misery. He was a sinner. He felt that. He had to die. Do you have to die? He could not die. Can you not die? He was a sinner. And that minister was pointing him to that wicked gate. And what? Did he see it, children? No, he did not see it. He didn't see it. You say he was a sinner. Yes, he was, but he did not see the gate. And why did he not see the gate yet? Because he was not yet a poor sinner. He had to lose something. And so he had yet to go a little further on that journey. And there he was going to try, as Mr. Worldly Wiseman said, we will try it with the law, with a lowered law. We will just be civil. Oh, that does not work for him. That works for the rich young ruler. All these things I have kept from my youth up, that works for him, because with that law, then he went up. And what now happens to Bunyan's pilgrim with that law? He goes down. That is now the difference between those people. And now it all needs to be taken away from him. And he needs to become a poor sinner. He needs to become a sinner that is not able to obey that law of the Lord. And that has to come there at Sinai. And he is afraid of the judgments of the Lord because he cannot keep them. Do we know the smallest part of this congregation? Where is the Lord Jesus here? You know where he is? He is sitting on Jacob's well. He is in Samaria. He's been speaking to a woman, to a sinful woman. And he has uncovered her. Go call thy husband and come hither. Lord ever uncover you? The Lord ever show you and expose everything when you have tried to cover it? That is what we do, right? We try to cover it all. And then the Lord comes. And then he puts his finger on the sore. And he opens up that heart. And then there is no hiding anymore from the Lord. And that is what the Lord now did to this woman. That woman, what does she say? She says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And she says, I know that the Messiah cometh. How does she know that? How does she know that? She heard of that. Who told her that? Well, her father, her mother. Who is she? She is a Samaritan. We would say she is a half-Jew. Thus, there is also that truth, that certain truth that has come down unto her. Moses and the prophets are not completely unknown to this Samaritan woman. No, Moses and the prophets have labored. They have labored and they have labored and Jeremiah has wept. Seemed like there was no fruit. And yet there was some fruit. That was fruit that was still not seen. That was fruit that was not yet ripe. But that was not all for nothing that Moses and the prophets have spoken. That Moses and the prophets have wept over that people of the Lord. And now the Lord comes. And now the Lord, in one moment, he makes it ripe. With one question, he makes it ripe. You believe the Lord can do that, congregation? How long? You've been hearing, listening for many, many years. You know so many things. Maybe it is just one question yet. Maybe it is just one statement yet that the Lord needs to use when you are up, coming up again in that house of the Lord. And then there is one Psalter line. Oh, there is one line read from the Bible. And then the Lord brings it home. And then it is all done. Oh, then there is prophet. There is profit from everything that has gone before, although they could not see anything of what that profit was or what could come from all of this. The Lord Jesus, in one moment, now takes that and he brings that all home unto this woman. And then the Lord reveals himself. I that speak unto thee am he. Lord, ever reveal himself unto your soul. And when he brought it home to you, or in that moment, congregation, when that comes, then the Lord is not far behind anymore. Then it is not going to remain anymore the way that it is, because now suddenly it becomes so different. It becomes so different in the life of this woman. Her eyes are opened and her heart is open for what? For whom? It is for that Savior. It is for that mediator. And then she is going, and she is going to her friends, come and see a man that had told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She says. Thus the Lord is reaping. The Lord is bringing in. The Lord is bringing her in. And the Lord is bringing also others in. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. The Lord Jesus speaks to his disciples. They cannot understand why she is speaking to this woman. She is a Samaritan woman. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. What does he say? Oh, that's sowing. That's sowing. And that weeping that has been now for 4,000 years, ever since that first sin. Oh, all that sowing of those laborers, those workers, that is now becoming ripe. It is the sowing of Moses. It is the sowing of the prophets. It is white. He says it is now time for the harvest. The Old Testament time, congregation, is a time of sowing. The New Testament time is a time of reaping. It is a time of gathering. Gathering all the fruits that other men have labored for. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And he says to his disciples, you are now to receive this work of reaping, to bring in the fruits. Thus, now the greatest part of the church of God is going to be brought in. Actually, that will be much more pleasant work, because sowing is with tears and reaping is with joy. The apostles, they did not write a book of lamentations like Jeremiah had to write. The congregation, this is now the time. This is now the time that you and I live in. The apostle Paul said, children, it is the last time. What is that? The last time. That is the New Testament time. There is no time that comes after our time. Because for a farmer, then there is sowing and there is reaping, and the reaping is last. That is the culmination. That is what comes at the end. And thus this time of reaping, that New Testament time, that is the last time, the Lord says. That is a different time. It is a different time than the time of sowing. And what is so different from this time than that time? That is especially in the number of the fruits. that the Lord is going to bring into his kingdom, that he is going to increase that number, that is going to go out from among the Jewish people, that is going to go out unto the Gentiles, it is going to go out into all the world, so that of every nation in this world, they are going to come with weeping and with supplications unto the feet of the Lord. Or will we be included in that people? Because it is come unto us. But will we then still miss it, even when it has come unto us? That is the time we live in. It is a different time. It is congregation, a very privileged time. Do you ever feel that? What a privileged time that we live in. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear. For many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things that ye see and have not seen them, and to hear the things that ye hear and have not heard them." You know, we say often it is a dark time, and that is true. There is truth to that. Do we ever feel that? Sometimes how dark our time is, and still we must be careful, because our time is not like the time that was. It is not like that former time. No, the time that we live in is the harvest time, and therefore a greatly privileged time. Oh, think about those in the Old Testament, how that the Lord has withheld those fruits, and they had children and families just like we. They also had their own soul. But congregation, who of them could say unto the Lord, "What doest thou?" In his sovereignty, then he has withheld those fruits in a great measure from this world for 4,000 years. That he says now in this new time, in this harvest time, he is going to bring them in. Do you ever acknowledge the Lord for the time in which you may live, for the time in which you may grow up? And that it may be a time wherein all the prophecies have been and are being fulfilled, all before our eyes, that we may read it in the Holy Scriptures, and that we may see it also within our lifetime, when we are looking about us and with fear for all the things that are coming on the earth, and that we may see how that all that Word of God is being fulfilled, and that truth of the Word of God may be so sure within our heart. Do you ever acknowledge the Lord? Or do you ever take advantage of the time in which you live? A time of much greater opportunity than the times that were beyond? Do you know what Solomon says? Or maybe you do the same. Do you say that the former times were better than these? Thou dost not inquire wisely, he says, concerning this thing. Congregation, there is something very remarkable here. Do you know what is remarkable? Listen to this woman. She goes to the men of the city. She says, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" And now read after. Do you know what it says? It says, they went out of the city and came to him. Is that not remarkable? Would you do the same thing? If there was one that could tell you everything that lived in your heart, open it up, expose it all, You want to go and speak to him? So I would run away from him. I run away from him because I don't want my heart to be opened. And now these Samaritans, what do they do? The Lord Jesus, he spoke to the Pharisees, to the scribes, and to the Jews, and he told them what their sin was. What did they do? They crucified him. And now these Samaritans, they hear that. This man, he is able to look into the deepest recesses of your heart. And they go to him. What is living in our heart? Do you know what David said? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my ways, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Where does that come from? It comes from above. Because congregation, we do not do that, do we? And now these Samaritans, do you hear, do you feel, do you see something? There is a ripeness. There is a certain ripeness that the Spirit of the Lord is here working. The Lord Jesus is ready to sacrifice himself. He is ready to give himself for the sin of his people. He is ready to die as the fulfillment of all those sacrifices in the Old Testament time. Now at the same time that Spirit of the Lord is working, does he work here too? That Spirit of the Lord is working in the hearts of men. And then he is bringing these people to come out unto the Lord Jesus Christ, that is congregation, such an encouragement unto the laborers when the Lord is convincing of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and when he is bringing people upon their knees before him, because then there is room. Oh, then there is freedom. Then there is freedom felt also from this place. And then the Spirit of the Lord gives freedom. He gives freedom to speak. He gives freedom to preach. He gives freedom to call. He gives freedom to reveal himself. The Lord reveals himself in the midst of that church. And when he is bringing that people, preparing their heart for himself, that is now the fruit. What do we read here about the fruit? Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him. They believed on him. Congregation, what do we need more than to believe on him? Can you believe on him? There are many people in the world. They say, I believe on him. Be careful, young people. We need to know what that is. Oh, we wish that for you with all our heart, because there is nothing more than we need than that, to believe on him. But we also need to know what that means, because if we have never been uncovered like this woman was uncovered, then a man never believes on him. But to believe on him, that is the most precious thing that you can ever experience in your whole life. Because then there is a relief. Oh, then there is something that goes out of your heart unto him. And you know what we read that they do then? They pray the Lord that he will tarry with him. They besought him to tarry with them. Oh, if the Lord ever gave you to believe on him, Oh, you will pray him. Lord, wilt thou tarry? Will you never go away from me? And if he goes away from you in a feeling way, in a believing way, then you will be asking him, Lord, wilt thou come again? And wilt thou tarry with me? And many more believed on him because of his own word. Then there is a harvest. That harvest is beginning now. In that time that the Lord Jesus has come into the world, congregation, it is harvest time. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors, harvest time. We can ask our farmers what that is. Harvest time is a very busy time, very busy time. Are you busy? Are you busy with that harvest? Because harvest is also a very short time. You know what harvest is? It's a very urgent time. Urgent time. You know what the farmer says to his children? Children, all those things that you are doing every day, you want to do, that is okay, he says. But now, right now, we need to bring in this harvest. So I need you all to help me. All the hands that are here. You need to put everything else aside because right now, and there is no time, children, like this time, because if we don't get this harvest in right now, then we are going to lose the harvest. Oh, congregation, it is harvest time. Is harvest ever an urgency for you that you say, I need to put everything else aside because I have a soul? Because my soul is traveling to a great, to a never-ending eternity. That is the time that the Lord Jesus is speaking about when he is speaking here to his disciples. There is no gathering congregation without labor. And those office bearers, they are laboring. But are you also laboring? Or do you say, young people, let them labor? Let the minister labor. Let those elders and deacons labor. Well, if I can make it to church, then I come. If not, it doesn't matter. No interest, no thought, no meditation. For congregation, there is no harvest without a laboring. And there is a reward for those that labor. You know what the Lord Jesus says here? He says, he that reapeth, receiveth wages. He gathers fruit. It is fruit, he says, unto life eternal. Paul says to Timothy, thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. The Lord said to Daniel, they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and forever. Need a minister for that? No. Need to be an elder deacon for that? No. Look at that woman. Look at that woman. If the Lord will open up that heart that is inside of you, if he will discover everything that is in that heart, if the Lord will make you a poor sinner, if the Lord will reveal himself to such a poor sinner, oh, then you will be so useful. You will be so useful. The father in his work, when he is meeting another man, the mother in her household with her children, the teacher in the school, and the university student in the college, oh, then we will become so, the Lord needs only to use the smallest word or even the smallest example if sometimes we don't even dare to open our mouth. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. That is what the Lord Jesus says here. That is the way it is going to be. They are going to rejoice together. When all those fruits are finally brought in, and it is going to be to the enjoyment and to the pleasure and to the satisfaction of that great husbandman, oh Moses, and the prophets. They have laid the foundation. They have sown with weeping. They're soon going to see what that foundation was for. And when they could not see all the fruits, then the others that have followed, they are going to bring in those fruits, all those sheaves with them. Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And then there is going to be rejoicing. The Lord Jesus says they are all going to rejoice together. Congregation, it is harvest time. The laborers, they are going forth. They are busy. They are busy. Are there also people here that are ripe? That are ripe. Are you ripe as Joseph's brothers were ripe? They had to be ripened. They were not ripe on their own. Joseph had to do that. And he did not reveal himself until they were ripe, until they said, "We are verily guilty concerning our brother." Are you ripe like those brothers? Are you ripe like that thief? We indeed justly, we receive a due reward of our deeds. You know what comes immediately, right? Joseph, bowels yearned, cannot wait anymore when it is ripe. And a thief, when it is ripe, no, then the Lord doesn't wait any longer. We read of a publican, he went into the house of the Lord, and he smote upon his breast, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Did the Lord wait? No more. No more. Because then it is harvest time. Then it is harvest time for you. And the Lord says, "Therefore, I wait. Therefore, I wait." Is the Lord waiting? Are you waiting? The Lord is waiting. It says, "Therefore I wait, that I may be gracious unto you." Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 238, stanzas 2 and 3, and afterwards the form will be read for the installation of elder. Heathen lands and hostile peoples, soon shall come the Lord to know. Nations born again in Zion shall the Lord's salvation show. And what follows 2 and 3 of Psalter 238.
the form for the ordination of elder, as you can find on page 145 in the back of your Psalter. Beloved Christians, you know that we have several times published unto you the name of our brother here present, who has been chosen to the office of elder in this church, to the end that we might know whether any person had aught to allege why he should not be ordained in his office, and whereas no one hath appeared before us who hath alleged anything lawful against him, we shall therefore at present in the name of the Lord proceed to his ordination. But first you who are to be ordained and all those who are here present shall attend to a short declaration from the word of God concerning the institution and the office of elder. Of the elders is to be observed that the word elder or eldest, which is taken from the Old Testament and signifieth a person who is placed in an honorable office of government over others, is applied to two sorts of persons who minister in the Church of Jesus Christ. For the apostle saith, the elders that rule well shall be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Hence it is evident that there were two sorts of elders in the apostolic church, the former whereof did labor in the word and doctrine, and the latter did not. The first were the ministers of the word and pastors who preached the gospel and administered the sacraments, but the others, who did not labor in the word and still did serve in the church, bore a particular office, namely, they had the oversight of the church and ruled the same with the ministers of the word. For Paul, Romans 12, having spoken of the ministry of the word and also of the office of distribution or deaconship, speaketh afterwards particularly of this office, saying, he that ruleth, let him do it with diligence. Likewise, in another place, he counts government among the gifts and offices which God hath instituted in the church, 1 Corinthians 12. Thus we see that these sorts of ministers are added to the others who preach the gospel to aid and assist them. As in the Old Testament, the common Levites were to the priests in the service of the tabernacle, in those things which they could not perform alone. Notwithstanding, the offices always remained distinct one from the other. Moreover, it is proper that such men should be joined to the ministers of the word in the government of the church, to the end that thereby all tyranny and lording may be kept out of the church of God, which may sooner creep in when the government is placed in the hands of one alone or of a very few. And thus the ministers of the word, together with the elders, form a body or assembly, being as a council of the church, representing the whole church, to which Christ alludes when he saith, tell the church, which can in no wise be understood of all and every member of the church in particular, but very properly of those who govern the church out of which they are chosen. Therefore, in the first place, the office of elder is, together with the ministers of the word, to take the oversight of the church, which is committed to them, and diligently to look whether every one properly deports himself in his confession and conversation, to admonish those who behave themselves disorderly, and to prevent, as much as possible, the sacraments from being profaned, also to act according to the Christian discipline against the impenitent, and to receive the penitent again into the bosom of the church, as doth not only appear from the above-mentioned saying of Christ, but also from many other places of Holy Writ, as 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians 2, that these things are not alone entrusted to one or two persons, but to many who are ordained thereto. Secondly, since the apostle enjoineth that all things shall be done decently and in order amongst Christians, and that no other persons ought to serve in the church of Christ but those who are lawfully called according to the Christian ordinance, therefore it is also the duty of the elders to pay regard to it, and in all occurrences which relate to the welfare and good order of the church, to be assistant with their good counsel and advice to the ministers of the word, yea, also to serve all Christians with advice and consolation. Thirdly, it is also the duty particularly to have regard unto the doctrine and conversation of the ministers of the word, to the end that all things may be directed to the edification of the church, and that no strange doctrine be taught, according to that which we read, Acts 20, where the apostle exhorteth to watch diligently against the wolves which might come into the sheepfold of Christ, for the performance of which the elders are in duty bound diligently to search the word of God and continually be meditating on the mysteries of faith.
I now ask the brother who is to be installed in the office to please arise. To the end, therefore, beloved brother Ari Willem Verhoef, that everyone may hear that you are willing to take your office upon you, you shall answer to the following questions. And in the first place, I ask you whether you do not feel in your heart that you are lawfully called of God's church and consequently of God himself to this your holy office. Secondly, whether you believe the books of the Old and New Testament to be the only word of God and the perfect doctrine of salvation, and to reject all doctrines repugnant thereto. Thirdly, whether you promise, agreeably to said doctrine, faithfully, according to your ability, to discharge your office as it is here described in the government of the church together with the ministers of the word. Do ye also jointly promise to walk in all godliness and to submit yourself in case you should become remiss in your duty to the admonition of the church? What is your answer? The Almighty God and Father replenish you with his grace that you may faithfully and fruitfully discharge your office. Amen. Brother Verhoef, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. That is, in a very special way, true of you today. Because we miss Elder Van Heerden very, very much, who was privileged to serve here in this, our congregation, for nearly 30 years, and that has pleased the Lord to take him away and not to continue by reason of death. And we need to allow the Lord to be God and to be still in this. But we are very glad that today you may be given to enter into his labors. But now the Lord Jesus calls them labors. And the word labor makes us think about paradise. It makes us think about our sin and the consequences of our sin. And here we read about the Lord Jesus, how that he was willing to labor. Had to forego food, to forego drink, because the disciples, they said to him, Master, eat. And the Lord Jesus said to them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Thus there was his daily food. Thus he says, I live from that. That is my delight more than all the things, even the necessities of life in the midst of this world. And now he brings you to do something of that work, in that office, and it is our sincere hope that you may experience something of what he said, that it truly may be your meat and your drink, because it is not all easy, and you will be aware of that, but in all the trials, then sometimes the Lord is coming to show that he knows where we are. And that is the most blessed thing to experience, especially when we have the labors of the office lying upon our shoulders. And on the other hand, you have more labors because you have responsibilities at home and you have responsibilities also in our school. And therefore, the labors that lay on you are very, very many. And also those labors, you have a responsibility to continue to fulfill. And that is sometimes going to be a mountain, because these brothers here, who also have young families at home, are very aware of that. And yeah, we have to be careful as a consistory. We know that we do not place on you what will take you away from your other responsibilities to fulfill. But how shall you do all that? You are aware of what you already carry. And you are not ignorant. Your father has been in the ministry and in the office for all your life. And how now shall you do all that? To be honest, I was myself struck by the manner in which you answered me when I have asked you at that meeting, whether you accepted this office. And those words and the calmness with which you spoke them struck me when you said, with the help of the Lord, I do. And I know you a little bit, and you have spoken to me afterwards a little bit of how that came about. And now I can only say this. I hope indeed that you may feel and that you may experience the Lord's help, and that you may know that he is alive, that he knows where you are, and that you may taste something of the things that the Lord gives you to handle in your office. May the Lord go with you. A little word to your wife, and not only to your wife, but at this moment, just also to all the wives.
of these men, because wives, you are given a place. You are given a place at the side of the office bearers that do the labors in the midst of this, our congregation. And the disciples, they said to the Lord Jesus, Master, eat. Master, eat. Thus they would take care of the master. That is what you will do too. That is what you do do. All of you as wives. But it is not always easy. Because you have a family and you have young children. And that is the way that it is. And the Lord knows all of this. And that is not an easy thing. But what did the Lord Jesus now say? The Lord Jesus began to speak, wives. They were concerned about his body. And the Lord Jesus began to speak about spiritual things. He says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. If that now may be the benefit to be the wife and to be the children of an office bearer, because congregation, do not think that this is a light thing. When you go home in the evening to your families from your labors and these men go unto the church, then do not think that this is a light thing. But wives and children, if you may receive a little word sometimes from your husband, from your father, as an office bearer, that your thoughts may be directed in the right way. That is a benefit. Oh, the Lord give to you also the benefits that are coming out of himself, that fountain of living water. Reverend Verhoef and Mrs. Verhoef, we are very glad that you could be here with us today. It is a very special day also for you, naturally. And you have come a long way, and that you may be here when we often speak about the offices. And we speak about those offices with concern, because we get older and I am weak. And you begin to feel it also. And so, yeah, who is now going to come in the future? And now we often speak about those things with very much concern. And now, is that not a wonder? That your own son, that he may now take a place. And that is all without any of your doing, not even knowing what was happening. And thus cannot be an influence. And then all taking place from the side of the Lord. Oh, we would spare our children. We would spare our children from difficulties, from trials in life. But the Lord does best. The Lord does it best. We hope that you may receive much prayer for him and also a little trust and a little rest, that we may leave it where the Lord will have it. The Lord remember you also, congregation. We may be so glad that the Lord gives to us office bearers. And then, in a special way this day, and Mrs. Van Heerden, and then in this day, It is with much remembrance that your husband has labored in the midst of us. Or if we could bring him back, we would bring him back, we would say. But we would not do that, seeing the way that he has departed. May the Lord remember you also. But congregation, there are many labors. Do we now ask? Do we now pray? Do we pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest? And do we now pray for the laborers, for these men, for the laborers that the Lord has sent into his vineyard? When you do that work, you would say sometimes, Lord, why is it that thou dost not send those holy angels, that they may stand, that they may preach, and that they may be working to minister instead of a fallen man? And it is not the Lord's will. It is not the Lord's will. Is that okay? Is that okay with us? That is the Lord's way? That he puts men in office that have faults? Men in office that cannot do it all right? Is that okay with us, O congregation? Never despise the laborers that the Lord is sending. Will you be patient with them? Will you be long-suffering with them? I do not say you may never criticize, but don't do it there. But do it here. Do it one-to-one. And be very gentle. Be very gentle. Because an office bearer carries burdens. He carries very many weights. And be very generous in your encouragements. Do you ever think of that? To speak a good word and to encourage these men who are doing all the labors. Seek the profit. Oh, seek the profit of your for your own soul. They are laboring. Are you laboring too? And may now the Lord bless all of us together in order that that fruit may be to life eternal. Let us now sing on behalf of Elder Verhoef, Psalter 368, stanzas 4 and 5, standing, I will abundantly provide for Zion's good, the Lord hath said, I will supply her daily need and satisfy her poor with bread. 368, 4 and 5, standing.
Good, the Lord hath said.
Therefore, ye elders, be diligent in the government of the church which is committed to you and the ministers of the word. Be also as watchmen over the house and city of God, faithful to admonish and to caution every one against his ruin. Take heed that purity of doctrine and godliness of life be maintained in the church of God. And ye deacons, be diligent in collecting the alms, prudent and cheerful in the distribution of the same. Assist the oppressed. Provide for the true widows and orphans. Show liberality unto all men, but especially to the household of faith. Be all, with one accord, faithful in your office, and hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, being good examples unto all the people. In so doing, you will purchase to yourselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And hereafter, enter into the joy of our Lord. On the other hand, beloved Christians, receive these men as the servants of God. Count the elders that rule well worthy of double honor. Give yourselves willingly to their inspection and government. Provide the deacons with good means to assist the indigent. Be charitable, ye rich, give liberally. And contribute willingly, and ye poor, be poor in spirit, and deport yourselves respectfully towards your benefactors. Be thankful to them, and avoid murmuring. Follow Christ for the food of your souls, but not for bread. Let him that hath stolen, or who hath been burdensome to his neighbors, steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which are good, that he may give to him that needeth. Each of you, doing these things in your respective calling, shall receive of the Lord the reward of righteousness. But since we are unable of ourselves, let us call upon the name of the Lord. O Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee that it hath pleased thee for the better edification of thy church to ordain in it, besides the ministers of the word, rulers and assistants by whom thy church may be preserved in peace and prosperity and the indigent assisted, and that thou hast at present granted us in this place men who are of good testimony, and we hope endowed with thy spirit. We beseech thee, replenish them more and more with such gifts as are necessary for them in their ministration, with the gifts of wisdom, courage, discretion, and benevolence, to the end that everyone may in his respective office acquit himself as is becoming. The elders, in taking diligent heed unto the doctrine and conversation, in keeping out the wolves from the sheepfold of thy beloved Son, in admonishing and reproving disorderly persons. In like manner, the deacons, in carefully receiving and liberally and prudently distributing of the alms to the poor, and in comforting them with thy holy word, give grace both to the elders and deacons, that they may persevere in their faithful labor and never become weary by reason of any trouble, pain, or persecution of the world. Grant also especially thy divine grace to this people, over whom they are placed, that they may willingly submit themselves to the good exhortations of the elders, counting them worthy of honor for their work's sake. Give also unto the rich liberal hearts towards the poor, and to the poor grateful hearts towards those who help and serve them, to the end that everyone, acquitting himself of his duty, thy holy name may thereby be magnified, and the kingdom of thy Son, Jesus Christ enlarged, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 176, all the stanzas. O God, to us show mercy, and bless us in thy grace. Cause thou to shine upon us the brightness of thy face. And what follows, 176, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.